What's happening in my life? Voting. I'm voting.
Voting. You're
You should go
voguing.
vote. All of you go vote. I mean, by the time you hear this episode, it will have already passed, so I guess
If you're still
it
in
doesn't
line, stay in line.
stay
They
in
have to let you
line.
vote.
Like, I'll come by with some water bottles here in a moment.
And out came talk.
Hi.
Hola.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien, ¿y tú?
Oh, muy bien. Gracias. I lost all of my Duolingo Spanish.
Oh, yeah. It's like...
Once I realized that I spent a year doing Duolingo Spanish only to be living in a city for 2 weeks that mostly doesn't speak Spanish and speaks a different language that isn't on Duolingo, I dumped it out of my brain.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have a Catalan yet, do they?
They do not. No, they don't. And I felt real stupid in Spain. Real stupid.
I just would say, like, you know, dame este, dame este, dame esta. Like, I was just like...
You just go, moto mami, moto mami, moto mami,
moto mami. Moto mami, moto mami, moto mami, moto mami, moto mami.
Okay, speaking of festivals, did you see that festival I posted on my Instagram?
Girl,
I want to go so bad. It looks
Girl,
so good.
You're gonna get gang raped.
I probably, but System of a Down, Deftones, Gex, Flyleaf with the original singer. That's
Korn.
Mostly what I want to go. Korn,
Evanescence,
Turnstile. Who else is there? Skinny Puppy. Skinny Puppy is so good live. Health, Horror, Lacuna Coil. Great bands.
Girl.
All good shit.
I just hope that Incubus just plays Science from beginning to finish and nothing else.
One time I got Morgan, friend of the show Morgan, was like, hey, do you want to write about the Jimmy Eat World show for Overload? And I was like, sure, that sounds sick. He was like, cool, got you tickets. By the way, they're opening for Incubus and you have to write about them too. Bye. So I saw all of Jimmy Eat World, freaking out because I love Jimmy Eat World. And then when Incubus went on, I saw three songs, and then I left and just stood in the parking lot, waiting for Alex.
And you like lied about your review.
Oh no, I put in the review. I was like, I don't like Incubus, so this is the review of the first three songs.
Oh my god, I love that. Yeah, yes. I guess whatever tomorrow bring, you were not there.
Mm-mm. Anomaly. But welcome to Straight People Movies, the podcast where we two gays get together and watch a movie made for straight people, and we ask the question, why?
And somehow talk about Incubus in the process.
We ask the question, can you take the wheel and drive? Because whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
With open mm-hmm. arms. Open eyes, yeah.
Eyes, yeah. Really, Elmer. I like that, like, no matter what the band is, when I do an impersonation of a male rock singer, I always just sound like Creed. It's like, whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there.
That sounded just like Proto Martyr. You're crushing it.
Oh, thank you.
Was that an Immortal Orchestra?
Oh, my God, bitch. I like an Immortal Orchestra.
I get them and Parquet Courts confused with each other for some reason. I don't know why. I just put them in the same boat together.
They sound nothing alike.
I know.
I mean, they both have like a, you know, an 8.0 Pitchfork review, I'm sure.
I think that's what it is. I think I just like, they're the same level of like, gets covered on Pitchfork, but not that much. Yeah. And
they're like a spoon.
They're like spoon.
Just like a consistent 7.8, like yep. across the board.
My name is Dylan Garcia.
And I'm Kirk Van Sickle. And we really should just be like music reviewers at this point.
Honestly,
Straight People albums. Times, what do you guys think?
The number of times I've like thought about pivoting to music and like texting you at like 3 a.m. be like, let's just do a music podcast instead.
Like imagine, like we just do, I mean, I would like, I think it'd be Gaggy. I mean, we would choose the most, like, esoteric, like, RYM Fantano albums and then actually just gush over them instead of, like, criticizing them. But
honestly,
could be good.
An album where we cover all of Pitchfork's best new musics ever.
Oh, my God. Oh, that would take forever, bitch.
I know, but we
would
never.
But that means we'd also get to listen to High Places again, so.
We get to listen to so much, like, Ski Mask.
Woods.
Woods, so much Woods, Jesus Christ.
Oh my gosh.
I can finally listen to that Sudan Archives album that I keep lying to people and saying that I have.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that one.
That's my thing. But we actually talked about doing a movie this week that's the opposite of Pitchfork.
Yeah.
Because your dad knows what this movie is and your dad does not know what Pitchfork is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your grandpa probably knows what this movie is.
Oh, yeah. This is a classic. My grandpa loved this movie. This is a classic.
Your grandpa had to walk out of this movie. Was that too mean? Was that too fucked up?
I actually don't know if he did more stuff.
I think that my grandpa saw this movie. Anyway, we'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it.
We're talking about Saving Private Ryan.
And we're not talking about Saving Ryan's Privates. We're talking about Saving Private Ryan.
And we're not shaving Ryan's Privates either.
Mm.
Unless you wanna. I would never do that, though. You can keep
it. Yeah, I'm not into Matt Damon like that, except in Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh my God, in Talented Mr. He. Real quick, let me try to find the hottest in which Matt Damon is the hottest. Hold, please. What is the movie?
When he's killing Jude Law on the boat?
That is really hot. I think he's really hot on 30 Rock. I think he's really hot. I mean, he's so hot in the Bourne movies.
I see. Mm.
He's so hot in the Bourne movies.
I don't get the Matt thing. I don't get the Matt or the Ben thing.
I think he's hot and...
Well, I'll tell you who I have the hots for in this movie.
Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, girl. How did you know?
I could just feel it. Wait, real?
Mama.
He is cute in this movie. Giovanni Ribisi's cute.
Let's just say I got on my phone for the second half of the movie because I was pissed.
When Giovanni Ribisi was saying, mama, you were like, mama.
No, I was literally crying, but yes. Somewhere inside my brain, I was like, mama. But I was crying. I like cried really hard during that scene because it was sad. Newsflash, this movie's sad.
It's very sad. If you had to dramatically die in a way that afforded you the option to have, like, final words, what would you say?
I'd probably, like, if I died in my boyfriend's arms, I'd probably, like, make him get really near my mouth. And I probably would say, eat my pussy. You'd be like, to make Alex, him laugh. Because,
get closer.
Yeah.
Get closer.
Yeah, like literally. I'd be such a jerk. I'd try to make him laugh.
I'd go, that's all, folks. And then do this.
You go, that's all, folks. And then just.
Yep, I would do
like
it.
Marion Cotillard in Inception. Just. No, sorry, that was The Dark Knight Rises, but also Inception, too.
Honestly, yeah.
She dies a lot in Nolan movies.
She dies hilariously. And she dies the same way I die on stage doing improv shows. But Marion Cotillard is not in this movie, but you know who is? Edith Piaf.
Oh, whoa.
So there we go.
That's what our brains are doing, people.
Look at that.
Look at that.
The magic.
Yeah.
Introduce those people to Saving Private Ryan so we can talk about it.
So in honor of Spielberg's new film that'll probably win Best Picture because it's about movies, The Fablemans, we watched Saving Private Ryan. Okay. The 1998 war epic starring Tom Hanks, Tom Sizemore, Matt Damon, my husband Giovanni Ribisi, of course, and about 100 other dudes that you've probably seen on TV.
I tried to like write a joke about like 100 other dudes you're probably confusing for other people who are in Band of Brothers, but that wasn't that eloquent. But
yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
You got a 50-50 shot.
It's like Edward Burns, Barry Pepper, Eric Bana. Like, I mean...
Are they in it? I'll never tell you.
Jeremy Renner, girl, I don't know. I don't know.
They're in one of them.
And, yeah, it's set during World War II. You know, as in a small group of soldiers, they save Private Ryan. They all die doing it.
Mm-hmm. For a movie that's 3 hours long, that's pretty much all that happens.
Yeah. It's, well, they're in France.
They're in France.
Which is kind of gay. So
that's a little fruity.
Yeah, but they're in France, and there's a lot of death. You know, it's a come and see that you can watch with your parents.
Yeah, it's an actual come and see this
like
movie
oh yeah come it. And see this movie. You'll cry, but you'll be fine afterwards. Like
you can still go
day.
Watch. You can go to the Thanksgiving dinner table after this movie.
Yeah. I mean.
You might throw up a little
unless
bit
you were in war, then you might, you know.
You might have to go, stand in the backyard for a little bit.
Yeah, yikes. Smoke a cigarette. Yeah. yeah. And it's currently available to stream on Pluto TV. It's also on Paramount, which is what I watched.
It's on Paramount Plus. Are you fucking kidding me?
Girl, you need to get it together.
But I searched on Apple and it was.
Oh, it took me to Paramount. Your Apple's faking you out, man.
Do you know how many ads for fucking Yellowstone that I had to watch? And also, Yellowstone is set in the modern day? Who? What?
Yeah, why? I think Westworld, but it's actually set in the time that Westworld's in.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think there's another show called, like, 1883 that's what that is. But I thought Yellowstone was, like, 1890 or something. I didn't realize it was, like, fucking now. When was
That's really
rude.
That?
That's rude.
When I have to watch things on Pluto or on Tubi, it's always, like, commercials about, you know, propositions in California that I should put that on.
I got Jennifer Coolidge's Old Navy commercial about 400
times. Oh, yeah.
It's so embarrassing, girl.
I've seen that one. Drop anyway, Saving Private Ryan. Did you feel saved by Private Ryan?
Oh, I did. This movie was great. I'd never seen it before.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't like, I famously don't like war movies, and I don't like movies with camaraderie and like.
Yeah, I don't like being part of groups, so it's like I don't like relate.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
But like watching it, I was like, oh, like this is like the prime example and like the greatest one, like. Clearly, like 10 minutes into the movie you're watching, you're like, oh, like this is one of the greatest movies ever made. Like,
can you believe that Shakespeare in Love? I mean, are we going to talk about it? Shakespeare in Love beat this.
It's great. I love Shakespeare in Love. I think Shakespeare in Love is fabulous.
The gays really won that year.
They really won it. That is a bad Oscar. Let's just talk about that Oscar year. That's like, I think famously like kind of like a bad Oscar year.
It's like it's gone down in history as like Gwyneth Paltrow won an Oscar for that.
So, yes, but the thing is, she does have the most iconic of the people nominated that year in Best Actress. She is the one that has, like, lasted standard throughout time.
Because she was bad in it, though. Because look what happened to Marianne, who deserved it.
So you have.
Where is she? Where are you, Marianne?
Where are you? But you have Cate Blanchett and Elizabeth, a movie that no one talks about. Fernanda Montenegro in Central Station, a movie I've never heard of, which is
apparently people online say that that's the one that should have won.
Never heard of it. I'm interested. I'll watch it. You know, Meryl Streep in One True Thing, a movie I've truly never heard of.
That's not a real movie.
And then Emily Watson in Hillary and Jackie, a movie I've.
Oh, if you had said Breaking the Waves, I'd have been like Breaking the Waves.
Yep,
she should have won.
She should have. But yeah,
it was a different year.
So, but like Gwyneth kind of makes sense. She's the one that has like stood the test of time.
Yeah, she's just not very good in it.
But everyone else is like, it's Roberta Benigni in Life is Beautiful beating Tom Hanks in Saving Private Ryan, which is insane. I feel like everyone who voted for him immediately, as soon as he won, we were all like, oh no, what mistake did we just make? Oh God, oh God.
But he also, I forget if it was for Best Actor or like another award, but like, didn't he like run through like the seats?
Yeah, that was when he won Lead Actor. He got on top of the show. Or it might have been for a foreign language film because he also won that and just, ran on top of the seats. James Coburn in Affliction, and then Judi Dench in Shakespeare in Love. Judi Dench being in, isn't it like 8 minutes of screen time? It's like the shortest, like.
And it ain't no Beatrice straight in Network Mama. Like, it's not like she's like giving her all or anything. She's just vibing in Queen Elizabeth makeup.
Yeah, she's just chilling. Just should have given it to, I don't know, Brenda Blethyn. I had never heard of Little Voice, but we love Brenda Blethyn.
We love Brenda because of the voice, like her voice in Secrets and Lies. Oh, darling. So iconic.
Yeah, it's crazy that Shakespeare in Love beat this.
Yeah, I mean, like it is kind of crazy because I feel like, you know, in retrospect, it's considered like one of the greatest movies of all time, one of the greatest war movies of all time, Steven Spielberg's finest work. I mean, it's like. Like veterans say it's the most like accurate war movie ever made, but I guess they haven't seen Come and See. So
there's so many scenes in this movie where you're watching it, like how did they do this?
They shot real people. That's how they
like it. People had to have died.
People like, must have died on the set of that movie.
There's a scene where they're at, like, it's toward the end of the movie, like, in the final third of the movie, where they're, like, in the... Where they're at, right after they're listening to Edith Piaf, and the troops come through, and somebody...
They come through!
They come through, mama. And they, like, throw a grenade into a tank, and it... You can see the grenade go in with people in the tank, and then it immediately explodes, and then people come crawling out of that tank all in one unbroken shot. And I'm like, how did y'all not kill these people? They are on fire right now. I understand there are fire safety people, but it still looks too real. I don't trust it.
They killed people.
They killed people.
Shh. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's why I didn't win. Because they lost so many votes because the people who would have voted for it at the Oscars, unfortunately,
died. Like, that's like a whole like stuntman organization like done because of Saving Private Ryan. And y'all stand this movie?
Yeah.
Is this what they fought for in World War II? For you to just kill us to recreate World War II? Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Well, I didn't get to say, well, I didn't get to say my opinion of this movie.
How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, it's me, so I have opinions about it.
It's, yeah.
You're like, here we go.
Here she is.
But here's the thing. Such a well-made movie. I mean, so there's no denying the cinematography, mama. Mm-hmm. And, like, is this, like, the first, like, major movie to really, like, step up the pussy, like, the camcorder pussy game? Because I feel like, yeah, like, the, like, shaky camera, like, and I'm, like, you know, I know that Dogma 95 did it first, people, but, like, you get what I'm saying. Like, a big
like,
movie.
A major blockbuster
like,
thing,
to use it in a way that, like, was like, oh, I feel like I'm in the action because, like, nausea.
Oh, there's, like, dead-ass, like, first-person shit in this movie.
Yeah, and it's, like, so, like, to me, that was astounding, and, like, every 2000s action movie pretty much after this, like, all were, like... Like, the Bourne Identity is literally incomprehensible. Mm. Well, actually, the Bourne Supremacy is incomprehensible, but in a good way. I love that movie. But I think that the movie's great looking. I think it, like the lighting's great. I think that, like, the way it looks is great. I think the acting's pretty good for the most part, but it just goes back to that thing that Steven Spielberg does, which works in something like Raiders of the Lost Ark, but doesn't work for me in this, which is, like, it is just way too schmaltzy at parts. Oh, yeah. And then it's also like, what is the point of this movie, Dylan?
It's to say that there are brothers in arms in World War II, and to always love your brothers, even if they're not your real brothers.
Yeah, it was weird, because it's like, they brought up points. Like, I feel like a lot of movies do this, like big movies do this, like the Batman does it too, where it's like they'll bring up a bunch of points. And I'm like, these are good points that they're making that make sense to me. And then that all just seems to get like thrown under the rubble, if you will. Yeah. And it's just like, and then everyone just dies. And then like, he's like crying at a graveyard at the end as an old man. And I'm just like, what am I supposed to be feeling right now? Like, did he invent a better light bulb? You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I just was like, kind of like, yeah, like a bunch of people died to like save Private Ryan. Like, was it worth it? I don't know. Tom Hanks had so many good lines about that sort of stuff. And I just kind of wish it like, maybe not, it didn't have to pick a lane. It could be ambiguous if it wants to be, but I just felt like it could have, like, I don't know, been a little bit more complicated, I guess.
I would love to see, like, a sort of Flags of Our Fathers, Letters from Iwo Jima style, like, sister movie that's, like, one. So this is the movie about the saving of Private Ryan, and then I would love to see another movie that's just, like, the immediate after fact.
Right, where Matt Damon has a horrible life because a bunch of people died so that he could go back to his mom.
And he has no brothers in order to console with him. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just weird. Thing. I think for me, it just ended up being kind of like, I just feel like with war movies, because it's like, I mean, it's got to be like the most complex like genre you can do. I mean, like, this is real life, people. Like, this is violence. This is death, you know? And it's like when you watch something like it, I know I brought it up a couple times, but like when you watch something like Come and See, which is so unapologetically in your face about the realities of what it's like to live in a war. Or like The Thin Red Line, for example. Have you seen The Thin Red Line?
What a fucking cool movie.
Yeah. So that movie, it draws a line in the sand, right? Like, yeah. Terrence Malick is like, I'm making an anti-war World War II movie. Like, there's like, that is very clear. Even Apocalypse Now or Full Metal Jacket for me, like, do a good job with the tone of the movie to kind of like with Full Metal Jacket, it's like a comedy, and then it like completely flips the script and it's like, actually this shit is fucked up. stop laughing, you know? Like, yeah. And I think that's cool. And I just feel like Saving Private Ryan, and I guess there, you know, you mentioned this, that it's like a very like likable movie, like, which is why I think it's considered one of the great war movies. But it's also like, I don't know, for me with this topic, it's a little like, but should it be likable? You know what I mean? Because it's about war at the end of the day. Well, that's the thing. You know?
I can't remember who said it, but like, there was some cultural critic that said all depictions of war are positive. Like, there's no like neutral / negative depiction of war. Like, even neutrally portraying it is still like an endorsement of it, because it's still, because like cinema is so like aspirational that like if you were to shoot war, you would make it beautiful, therefore make it positive, therefore,
yeah. I think that's what I'm getting at. I like that point. And I think that for me, like, when you take on a war film, and other like filmmakers have like said this before, like, I feel like you should feel like the weight of that on your shoulders a little bit, because mm-hmm. to me it's like, it's not fantasy, it's not sci-fi, even horror like is stylized, right? And yeah. it's like, this is like reality, like real life horror. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like you need to be like a little bit careful about what you're doing. And I think with Spielberg, even though I do love a lot of his movies, I'm not like a Spielberg like hater, I just do feel like sometimes his like more schmaltzy, cheesy tendencies for something like this mm-hmm. could be potentially dangerous for the viewer, especially when people are like walking out that PTSD during the movie, because it's like too violent for them. But then people want to go to war in 2003 because the movie inspired them to. It's like, oh, you know,
so brutal.
It is. It's for a major wild. Film. It's pretty intense.
This movie,
even to this day,
it almost made $500 million, and for a movie that's like, you see people's like realistic looking organs come out, like, it's like real fucking graphic, especially like in 98.
Yeah, I agree. It's really graphic.
What do you think the budget of this movie was?
I mean, I'm assuming high. I mean, I have a good idea of like a modern day big budget, but I couldn't tell you like what a big budget was at 98.
Yeah, it's just 70 million.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel movies cost like way more than that.
Mm-hmm. And they look like shit. This looks so good.
It does look good.
There is nothing in this movie that looks 90s
cheap or bad. I mean, there was that part where they're like walking across a field at night with the lights in the background that was like, that was clearly sick. Doctored, but other than that, it looked
that was
great.
So sick. I loved that part.
No, it was cool. It ended up being kind of surreal, so it worked. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so anyway, I say all these criticisms of the movie, but that doesn't mean I don't like it. Mm. I just think that like it's a little bothersome, I think, to like a war movie, but then you don't even want to like pick it apart, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I could see myself having a conversation with, like, a straight bro at a party about Saving Private Ryan and bringing up these points. And, like, I could see him getting, like, heated and defensive about Saving Private Ryan. And mm-hmm. it's like, but it's a war movie. So I feel like if there's any type of movie to, like, really, like, be critical about and its depictions of, like, horrific realities, it's like, it's a fucking war movie. I mean, you know, and I don't know. I just feel like Spielberg just doesn't, like, do anything with it. And it does end up coming across, like, very, like, patriotic and about brotherhood and all these like kind of like ubiquitous things. And I'm just kind of like, but like, I don't know. Like, yeah, you save Private Ryan, like, killed 10 men to do it. I guess you, by saving Private Ryan, you saved 100 other men, Tom Hanks. I know we said that. So
yeah. At what cost?
At what cost? So that a small town in Pennsylvania loses a school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about
they
that.
They can find another creative writing teacher. What did he teach? He taught like comp science?
English composition, he said.
English composition, there we go.
So not creative writing.
Not quite.
Probably to write, you know, about why, you know, racism's good in
yeah,
two paragraphs.
Yeah. And why we should have more like lead in our pipes.
But yeah, anyway, I just think that, but I'm not the only person that thinks that. I like read on Wikipedia that at the time it came out, there were people that kind of shared similar views to me about the movie. And that it's a little like, doesn't really like take a stand on any of it. But I guess I appreciate that like veterans, like a lot of them like the movie because it feels very like real to them. So that's cool.
Yeah. Would you say that this is Steven Spielberg's last great movie?
No. I don't think his great movies have come yet.
You don't think he's okay. You think The Fabelmans going to be good?
No, I just think for me, Spielberg's great era is like, I think AI and like Minority Report and like Munich and like those like kind of like post 9/11 like paranoid thrillers are like his best work, in my opinion.
I do too.
Because it's like he has that fantasy element of his movies, that like kind of schmaltzy thing I talk about. But I feel like it's completely usurped by how negative he was feeling at the time. And it's really cool to see.
Well, Saving Private Ryan, actually, interesting. It looks like it's directly in the middle. Like it's his middle movie in his long list of films. It feels like a turning point into modern Spielberg.
Yeah. Well, and then of course we have like his like kind of cool Renaissance era in the 2000s, I would call it, and then you get this kind of weird like post Renaissance era that we're in now.
Post Munich, that gets real weird.
It gets weird. Like your War Horses and your Lincolns and your
BFGs and your Bridge of Spies.
Yeah, very strange. I don't know. It's almost like Spielberg just wants to cover every genre before he dies.
He's like, all right, done a video game movie. I've done World War II from every angle.
Yeah.
I've done a horse movie.
Yeah, you got to get a horse movie in there if you want to be a prestige filmmaker.
Yeah.
Got to get that grandpa crowd in.
Yep. But like, The Fablemans, why we're doing this episode, looks like shit. Like, I mean, I understand, like, apparently it's, like, great, but it looks just real annoying.
I think that unless you actually had, like, a interesting childhood, you shouldn't probably make a movie about it. And when I say interesting, I mean, like, actual crazy shit happened and not that your, like, mom was kind of wacky and your dad was, like, strict. I just think that like that's like a really boring storyline, or at least the way the trailer is making it seem. Maybe there's more to it. I don't know. I'm gonna go see it because Paul Dano and Michelle Williams are in it, and I love them both. But I do think that like, yeah, I feel like when you make a movie about your childhood, I feel like there's that Armageddon Time movie that also is coming out, and I saw the trailer for that, and I was like, this is not giving to me at all. But like when you watch something like by Edward Yang, for example, like A Brighter Summer Day. And it's like you see like the world of like Taiwan, like actually war-torn country, like what it was like to like live in that kind of society as a child. I'm like, see, that is the kind of shit I want to see, because that's actually interesting to me. And it's like fucked, you know, like that's fucked up. And I just get tired of like I feel like Americans, like it's almost kind of like since World War II, like no one's actually really had a bad time. Vietnam, but after Vietnam, no one's really had a bad time. Like people have had a bad time, but not like on that level. And it's just like, to me, I'm like, Spielberg, like, girl, you wanted to make movies and your daddy said no. Yeah. Same.
Yeah, girl. Get in line.
Yeah. Like, but you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that supposed to be aspirational for me?
It's like everyone saw Roma and went, I can do that. And it's like, no, you can't.
See, the thing about Roma is I really like Roma, but I've heard a lot of criticisms of that movie, and I went T. Like, I literally, like, read them, and I was like, that's T, kind of. Like, I get why people are critical of this movie, because it does kind of do the whole, like, Alfonso was, like, a rich kid, and he, like, worships his maid in this, like, really weird, creepy, like, savior way. Like, oh, wow, this, like, really poor, like, indigenous woman, like, is, like, a saint.
Yeah.
It's like, no, she had to be, probably, because she had no choice.
There's a new, like, Inarritu movie called Bardo that is apparently about, like, him and his creative process. And it's like, I truly cannot name another director who I would like to know less about than Inarritu.
It's like mind-blowing to me that people like Birdman. Like, I know we're both on the same page about this, but it's, like, so clear to me that this was made by a person that thinks he's so much smarter than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He's the first person that feels like he's had to sacrifice his art for commercial ventures. Inarritu, Alejandro Honeybunch.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, shut the fuck up.
It's just...
As Julianne Moore said it in Magnolia, shut the fuck up!
It's not great, dog. It's not great.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of bad movies this year.
This feels like a really bad Oscar year so far. Like, usually there's at least a couple I'm excited about. And I feel like I already saw the one I was excited about, which was Tar. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's like, I'm kind of like rooting for Tar.
Truly, Tar win everything. Like, I don't think there is a lead male actor in it, but make someone up.
Yeah, you're right. There isn't.
give the lead actor trophy to the college student who I don't think has a name.
For that shaky leg girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, So but anyway, good. I mean, I guess going wheeling back to Spielberg, I just think that, I mean, I love him. I love his style. I love the way his movies look. I like the way they feel. I just feel like in the story territory, it just gets a little like by the numbers to a degree that like can be a little distracting. And with Saving Private Ryan, yeah, it's like a fun movie to watch. You got your like stock characters, you know, you got all the things that you're like looking for in an adventure film. But I think that when that's like coupled with like how violent and graphic it is, it just kind of throws me off a little bit. But yeah. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it either.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun time to watch. Also, it was great to Spielberg. I think I was telling Kirk before we started recording, but I love Spielberg because you can give about 60% of your attention to it and still get the whole thing.
Right.
Still
it's very, very
true. Feel like you watched a movie.
He really does not say anything with his movies. which is fine. Which
it's
is totally
okay.
fine. You know, I
and
can't
that is
sit
a
here,
skill to have.
I can't sit here and say I love House, the 1977 Japanese art film, because the vibes are immaculate, and say I hate Saving Private Ryan because it doesn't have a point. so, eating my words
eating
here.
Your words.
Yeah.
Why do straight people love this movie?
Oh, God. Well,
war. They love
y'all
war.
Y'all love war.
Straight people fucking love war. Although, I love that we've, like, run out of ways to show war now. Like, the only way to do it is if it's very, like, has an intentional, like, gimmick. So, like, for example, I'm thinking 1917, which was all shot in one take, quote-unquote, and Dunkirk, which has, like, a quasi-convoluted clock mechanic in it. And like you can't.
I've
just
not
make
seen
a war
either
movie.
Of those movies.
Oh, they're both really good. I
but
love.
But they
Dunkirk.
Go. That goes into my November popular movie watch. They're both on the list.
You, I think you would like Dunkirk. Dunkirk is really cool. It's like it might be like the first Christopher Nolan movie you like.
I mean, I like Memento.
There you go. Might be the first Christopher Nolan movie you've liked in 20 years
with a budget.
With a budget. That's not on the Criterion Collection. Actually,
Memento yes.
on Criterion.
I don't think so.
Following is. I know that. But God, well, now that Wall-E is in the Criterion Collection, you know we're going to get like Dark Knight or some dumb shit soon.
I mean, I really want to get that cop that Wall-E 4K UHD Blu-ray. 90% of my sister's
getting it for Winter Christmas and I can't
wait. Oh my God. A side note. I was so... Only you would get this. I was so upset, girl. So Sunday, I was like, today is the day. I'm going to Barnes & Noble and I'm buying all the Criterion. Okay. And we do this thing where, like, we pick a neighborhood in L.A. because we want to explore more. And we'll just, like, spend, like, a few hours in that neighborhood. So we're like, let's go to, like, the Valley. Let's go to Studio City. You know, let's go see where, you know, Boogie Nights took place.
Go hang out with Chaim.
Yeah, exactly. So I, like, went to the Barnes & Noble there. Very cute. It was in an old theater, but it was very small. And I was, like, searching for the Criterion. And he was like, it's really small. And I, like, didn't see the number one film that I'm trying to get this month. Which is Cure by Kiyoshi Kurosawa.
Yeah.
One of the greatest films ever made. So I didn't see it there. So I was like, well, I'm not going to buy other movies here. We're just going to go to another Barnes & Noble. And we're going to like, because I have to get Cure. Well, bitch, I went to another Barnes & Noble that usually has what I'm looking for. No, mama. They didn't have Cure. They didn't have Exotica, which is another one I wanted to get. Damn. They didn't have any of the things that I wanted. And I was so upset. I had to buy them online. And it's just not the same,
it's
Dylan.
Not the same. No, I love going to Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Getting a Starbucks from the not-Starbucks.
Yes.
And getting yourself a Blu-ray. Yes. I love
it. I like to go get a lot of them, do the 10% off on my membership, and then I usually get like a free coffee because I spent so much money, $100 usually. And then I like go get myself a free coffee, and I wasn't able to do any of that. I couldn't use my membership 10% off online.
Violence.
It is violence.
Man.
Anyway, sorry. It was just like I was looking forward to it. I look forward to every November. Like it's... That's basically Christmas to me is when I get all my Criterions.
It's so nice because it's like I want – whenever like the family asks like, oh, we went for Christmas this year or whatever, I'm always like Criterion's 50% off for this entire month. You got a long time to buy it. Here's 20 movies. Choose 5 of them.
Right.
And that's what I want.
Yeah. But anyway, I got some good ones. Other than Kieran Exotica, I got Mishima finally.
Hell, it's such a pretty box.
Yeah, I'm excited to finally have it. And I got Daisies, which they just put on 4K. And then I got All That Heaven Allows, a Douglas Sirk melodrama from the 50s. Love.
I haven't gotten, because I was, you know, like waiting for Christmas and my birthday and stuff, because that's all like right around the corner. So the last thing I got, it was when Criterion itself did the sale. like in September. I got the Khaatse trilogy, which is the trilogy of
I've only seen Kaya.
I know. Me. Honestly, same. I haven't seen the other two, so I'm excited to see them. And we're going to get really high and watch a narrationless, formless documentary.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Koyani Skatsi, to me, is like the most stoned film ever made.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's great.
That I want to do like a full day festival of those three movies and then Baraka and Samsara.
Girl, your brain will melt by the end of that.
Just like 20 hours of images.
But speaking of the world,
you know what they did in the
40s? Had a war, and there was a second one.
They were at war with each other.
Yeah. straight people. Straight people love World War II, specifically because we won. That's why you guys like that one.
Yeah, and it's the one that has like the clearest, like, it has a villain in Hitler. Like, there is a true, actual, like, super villain person. And it's the easiest to, like, imagine there. It's not like, we're not fighting a concept.
Yeah,
an evil person.
Yeah, it is really annoying, though, that the older you get, the more you learn about World War II, and the more you're like, oh, we were, like, neutral and staying out of that shit for, like, a minute. It was, like, until they attacked us that we were like, okay, I guess we care that a bunch of Jews are dying.
Yeah, sorry, 6 million people died, sorry.
Yeah, so, like, fuck off, America. I'm just gonna say it right now. Fuck you. But, yeah, y'all love World War II, and specifically, you love historical accuracy. And so everyone knows that the Normandy Beach sequence is, like, one of the more realistic depictions of a battle during this time period, as well as like some of the way that they did it. Like, even though there was inaccuracies according to Wiki, it was pretty accurate. And it, you know, y'all are just like all about like, you need realism, honey.
Need it.
And because reality doesn't scare you, I guess. No.
Although, like, shit like that, like, I don't understand. Like, I guess we had footage there because, like, was like John Ford there? Because is that the thing that, like, the five came back? Is like they like sent the directors out to like
film
the war?
Did they?
No, because
it's very like, because obviously we would be what's his face in this movie. We would be the one that like translates for him.
Oh, of course.
Like, we don't see battle, you know.
Yeah, we'd be dropping helmets left and right. You know, just being not knowing how to shoot a gun since, you know, PT or whatever.
Yeah,
that'd be us.
That'd be us.
Oh, yeah. Ford was there. Yeah, John Ford was on Omaha Beach on D-Day.
That's crazy.
That's fucking crazy.
Yikes.
Could you imagine if they just, like, sent off, like, I don't know.
Ari Aster
to Ukraine to, like, have a good time.
Girl, thank God we are way too old to be drafted. I know. I think about that constantly, but then I think about the Zoomers being drafted, and I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Because they'll probably mutinize and then kill each other. They, like, won't even, like, they're going to be like, fuck this. And they'll, like, glue themselves to, like, the Louvre. I don't know.
I was, like, speaking of Zoomer stuff, and I don't want to be the person. What I'm about to say is going to sound really annoying. I'm not pointing it out as a criticism of the movie. I'm pointing it out just as a thing that's really, I think, was interesting and funny just to see. Not a single damn woman in this movie talks.
Oh, yeah, no. The one scene where there is a woman, she's like, it's like we're seeing it from outside an office.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Sometimes women are not supposed to speak, you know?
It was the 40s. They didn't speak until like the 60s.
Yeah, it's like how in Mad Men, there's like no people of color, but it's like because like in the show's reality, like that's how it really was.
Yeah.
People made that argument about the show, I remember. So so bringing it back. I'm bringing back the argument. Yeah, you know, I mean, you got, I feel like they covered enough bases. I mean, they're all white, but I mean, there's a Jewish one, and there's a Southern one, and there's a guy from Brooklyn who talks too much, and, you know.
One of them
just really every kind of straight man you can think of is present. All the kinds.
All the different flavors. Also, straight people love camaraderie.
Yeah.
Love brotherhood. Love being like, I'll die for you, brother. I don't know.
But even then, I feel like the movie didn't like, that's what was, actually one thing I liked about the movie was I feel like it wasn't like that, like too much. Mm-hmm. It didn't go too far with it. It was schmaltzy, but it wasn't in full Schmaltzville. Yeah. It was like one stop away.
Yeah, I do like that they all kind of hate Ryan.
Yeah.
Which is, like, cool. Like, I also would. Like, I feel like that's such a, like, cliche in war and, like, battle stuff. It's like, all of our brothers are brothers, and we all have to do brother-brother stuff. Brother, ah.
But well, they even make fun of the faggot, the one with the ledger, because he's like, I'm writing a novel about brother. And they're like,
that I would also make fun of him.
Yeah.
But then they're all jerking off whenever he's translating EDP off to them. So, look.
I mean, we'll get to that in a second.
We'll get to that.
y'all love camaraderie. Even though you don't know how to talk to people properly for the most part.
There's a thing that, like, straight people do.
Okay.
That, like, I'd want to get to the bottom of.
Okay.
And it might just be a me thing. I don't know if it's a me thing or if it's a straight people thing, but it's like, straight people will be like, oh, my best friend, so-and-so. And I don't know if I'm telling on myself, but it's like, do I have a best friend? Like, yes, I do. Like, Alex is my best friend, but, like, do I, like, I'm married to him. Like, is there someone that's, like, do I have a person that I designate as a best friend? Like, would you say you have a best friend?
I do. I do have a best friend. Okay. Yes, it is a woman. I'm classic in that way.
Would you, like, introduce them as your best friend?
No, because that's corny.
It's corny, right?
Yeah.
It's, like, that's weird. I think that's what I'm talking about, where it's, like, I may, like, yeah, like, Alex is probably my best friend, and I have friends that I talk to all the time, and like Chris and Stephanie, like I would consider them like very good bestest of friends. But like as a person, like I would never like, here's my friend so-and-so, I'm making up a name, Jordan. I don't know anyone. I know a person named Jordan. Jackie. I don't know anyone named Jackie. Here's my best friend, Jackie.
I feel like when you're 22, you say stuff like
yes.
that. Which most of the people in this movie are. I mean, they're supposed to be.
Yeah, again, they are 22.
I mean, they don't, like, look 22. I mean, Giovanni does.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm.
But, so cute. But
there's
like,
a potential to do another Giovanni Ribisi movie very soon if I get my way. And I'm very excited.
He's so hot. I think he's so hot that I'm, like, I forgave him for breaking Cat Power's heart.
I didn't know he did that. That's so awful.
That's what Son's about.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm. 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 Giovanni.
Mm-hmm. And isn't he a Scientologist?
Mm. That checks out. I don't know about it. That checks out.
I think he might be. He's very good in Friends. But okay, what else do we have on here? We don't have anything else. Straight people. They love war. They love shit like that.
You love war. You love camaraderie. You love blood. You love graphic and historical detail.
Yeah. The end.
You love it.
Is there anything gay about this movie? I think there's a couple things. Yes.
Yes.
Specifically, this is the longest I've written out, but it does have a little bit of explaining. It's in that same Edith Piaf scene. They're in the church, and someone's in the tower, and they're giving signals. And he does this thing where he's, like, giving signals about a tank coming, and then at one point he goes, limp wrist, full on,
yeah.
What's up,
yes,
sis?
Mama. It's because he's saying the Germans are coming.
This is an audio of me and Kirk are both doing the wrist thing at each other.
The Germans.
But like,
you can hear in our voices.
You hear in our voices. It's like it's the same hand that imagine Ina Garten saying, how easy is that? It's that hand signal.
I mean, I know every straight man listening to this right now has done the limp wrist thing to make fun of us. So don't act simple. Okay. We know. We know what you did at Call of Duty when you were 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which was directly inspired, by the way, by Saving Private Ryan.
Yes.
just so you know. Just so you all know that. yes. Limp wrist. Edith Piaf. I think the gayest line in the movie, though, is when Matt Damon goes, what's she singing about? And then he says that he's like, yeah, she sounds sad. I was like, a straight man like doesn't like hear like a woman singing in a foreign language and just goes, wow, the melancholy is just really
the ennui prevalent. Really does transcend language.
Yeah. But also, to be fair, like I do feel like, you know, vets at this time period, you know, they're getting to travel the world, you know, in war. They're getting cultured, baby.
Yeah. Also, like, how much music are these men listening to? Like, I guess they got that shit on the radio, but how much diversity in music are they listening to in the 40s? It's like...
None.
Big band.
Swing.
Christian hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of, I'm seeing Lingua Ignota on Thursday. She's going to do a hymn set. I'm so fucking excited.
Ooh.
And it's at the Paramount.
And then that's it.
That's it. She's done.
Good for her.
Is there anything else gay about this movie? Just dudes.
Just how much I want to fuck Giovanni Ribisi, honestly.
For real.
So hot.
You want to fuck that exit wound?
Oh, no. I cried. Dylan, I cried so hard during that scene. I was, like, bawling. I was, like, literally bawling. He was really good in that scene. I'm actually surprised that he didn't get any attention for his performance, because to me, he's the strong standout in the supporting performances.
Yes, I agree.
I feel like he's the only one. Like, they didn't really give him a character other than he's the doctor, but I feel like he was, like, really imbuing the character with qualities, and I feel like he felt really lived in, and I feel like his death scene, in my opinion, probably one of the great death scenes in a movie. I, like, thought it was really effective. I cried a lot.
Yeah. And
when he asked for more morphine, it was just waterworks. Waterworks. Waterworks.
He's, and then he's done so much good shit. Like, I'm thinking about him. He's, I like him a lot in Lost in Translation and his few scenes.
Yeah, he plays a really good, like, hipster douche in that.
Yeah. I mean, I love him in Avatar. I think he's fabulous in Avatar.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he the villain or one of the villains?
He's one of the villains in Avatar. He's so good. Hopefully we can do Avatar soon. And yeah, rewatching it recently, because I watched it in IMAX when I did the reissue or re-release of it, and it was so fucking good. But yeah, Giovanni Ribisi is fantastic. He's like, he understands the movie he's in.
Yeah, he gets tone very well.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe that's what I liked him in Saving Private Ryan, because he, like, found that right tone of, like, he knows he's in a Steven Spielberg war movie, mm-hmm. and he knows what he needs to give.
Yeah.
And he gives it.
In this pod, we stand Giovanni Ribisi.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
All right. Well, now it's time we go to our gay recommendations, where we recommend something a little gayer than what we just watched. And I was thinking for this, I was like, what are some properties in which people are looking for other people?
Oh my God. I did not. This is why I do this. This is why I don't look. Oh my God.
And then I was like, well, we've already talked about Tangerine. Can't really do Desperately Seeking Susan. Not really. So I was like, what about Search Party? Like, you know what? Honestly,
Lord Almighty.
Honestly, Search Party is just gay Saving Private Ryan.
It really is.
It's just as traumatic.
Season one of Search Party is gay Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
amazing.
It is.
Amazing.
Edith Piaf, Purity Ring.
I mean, honestly, if you get further than season one, honestly, the cast, the characters in Search Party are braver than the Marines.
yeah. So go ahead and go watch Search Party. I'll finish it one day. I know
it's
I'll
so good.
I'll come around to it. I know I will. But yeah, Search Party.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's no gay. You can't do a gay war movie because they didn't let gay people in the military until like 5 years ago. So.
What's our version of going to war?
Party Monster.
We've already recommended that. Oh, shit.
Damn it. I need to keep track of what we recommended. Well, yeah, what is gay war like? The Purge. Is there a movie where they go to hell?
Where gays go to hell.
Or just, yeah.
Besides
real life.
You know, as much as the world tells us we're going to hell, there haven't been any media depictions of it.
Honestly,
Us there.
What if we... That's our movie we need to write, is gay people in hell for the first time.
And just
or
being like,
for the first time.
Fuck. I take back all the cocks I sucked. God.
Please. Yeah.
You're like, this isn't fun. We said this was going to be fun, but it isn't fun.
It's... Yeah. Okay, we're going to write a movie that's gays in hell, and it's going to be called Gays in Hell.
Yeah. Great title.
And then we're going to get picked up by A24.
Absolutely.
And then after that, we're going to write some... Yeah, we're going to do like the Angeline biopic. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch Search Party. Is there anything else we're going to talk about this movie that we didn't talk about?
No.
No, that's it. Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Good DVD cover.
He was a Ryan who was a private who was saved.
Mm-hmm. And for that, we're thankful.
We are thankful.
Thank you, Tom Hanks, for sacrificing your life for Matt Damon. Spoiler.
Thank you. And making everyone else do it against their will.
All right.
But that's war, baby.
That's gossip. my name is Dylan Garcia. You can follow me on Twitter at Dylan Garcia, on Instagram at Garcied, and Letterboxd at Garcied. And also you can check out my show, We Are the Queers. I directed an improv show. It runs for 3 more weeks every Saturday at 7 p.m. at Fallout Theater. It's very fun. Please go.
Someone secretly film it so I can watch it.
I'll see what I can do.
Yes. My name is Kirk Van Sickle. You can find me on Instagram at Kirk_Van Sickle. You can also find me on Letterboxd and Twitter at KRKVNSCKLE. And also follow us at Straight People Movies, STR8PPL Movies. We're on Instagram and Twitter.
That's it, baby.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next week where we're going to be talking about what? I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll get back
right
to
after
you.
This.
Immediately after we stop recording. That's my favorite thing. As soon as we stop recording, we go, bye. I got. Me and Kirk both run to the list of American films of 2022 Wikipedia page to try to find something.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's true.
All right. Love you. Bye.
Bye, bitches.
I got.
And out came talk. And out came talk. Talk, talk.